The Bible is full of surprises. And this applies particularly to the teaching of Jesus. Again and again, he says the unexpected. For instance, he said that if you want to save your life, you must lose it. He says that if you want to follow him, you must hate your closest relatives. And now as we come to this incident involving children, Jesus, I believe, takes us by surprise again. Here in Luke 18, verses 15 to 17. First, he tells us that babies are in the kingdom of God. If they die, they go to heaven. Now, this might surprise us, because elsewhere the Bible clearly tells us that if you want to be saved, if you want to go to heaven, you must repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus. Well, a baby clearly hasn't repented and believed. So how can a baby go to heaven if a baby dies? And secondly, Jesus says to all of us, when we're older, that we must become younger. We must become like a little child if we're to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus goes past to say that if we don't become like a little child, we can never go to heaven. Now, this truth also might surprise us, because when we look at the teaching in the Bible, when we look at the evangelistic sermons, you might conclude that the teaching of Jesus is too difficult for a young child. Think of the Sermon on the Mount. It begins with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Can a child understand that? "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Well, there's a really big word for a little child there, isn't there? And then he goes on to talk about adultery and oaths. Not subjects you would think for little children. And many would say it's too much for a child to understand. So what is Jesus saying? In what sense do we have to become like a little child if we want to go to heaven? Well, this morning I want to explain what Jesus is teaching about babies and about little children. And as we do, we will find once again the greatness of God's love, and on the other hand, the need to be humbled, to be saved. And this sermon's going to be in two parts. First, we're going to look that young children are members of the kingdom of God. And secondly, we're going to look at how we must become like a young child if we're to enter the kingdom of God. So here's the first point that Jesus teaches. Young children, babies, are members of the kingdom of God. Now, as soon as any child is born, Christian parents should have one overriding concern for their child. It is not about their education, though that is important. It's not about their health, though that is important. It's not about the career they will have, though that may be important. The most important concern that any parent has for their children is their eternal destiny. They want their children to go to heaven. They want their children to be saved. And I hope parents, Christian parents here, that is your number one concern for your children. How awful it would be to be in heaven, you might think, and your children not to be there. And so, my friends, every parent will work for your children's salvation. You will read them the Bible. You will pray with them. You will teach them the gospel, how they can have their sins forgiven. You will take them to church. And you will, above all, pray for them. You will pray for them that they will repent and believe in Jesus to be saved. But what happens if before they reach that age, when they do repent and believe, they sadly die? What happens to a young infant who tragically leaves this world as a young infant? And what about all those babies that die because of a miscarriage? Or even worse, what about all the babies that die because of an abortion? What happens to them? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us in this passage, and what he has to say is wonderfully comforting to all parents who have had the terrible tragedy of seeing a little one die at a young age. Now, the background for what Jesus is about to say is that parents were bringing their infants to Jesus so that he might touch them. That's what we read in verse 15. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Now, it's important to understand what the word infant means here. Luke has already used it twice, and Luke was a very careful writer. The first time he used it was in Luke chapter 1, verse 41. You might want to turn back to Luke chapter 1, verse 41, otherwise I'll read the verse. Mary, who's pregnant with the Lord Jesus, has gone to meet her relative Elizabeth, who's also pregnant. And this is what we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 41. We read this. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. That's the first time that Luke uses this word that's translated later, infant. So therefore, an infant is a baby in the womb. That's what it means. It means a baby not yet born. But then look at the second time Luke uses it. It's in Luke chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And now he uses it to refer to the Lord Jesus after he has been born. Look what we read in Luke 12, verse 11 and 12. And there was born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe. That's the same word, the same Greek word, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. So how young were the infants that were being brought to Jesus? They were babies. They were babies in their mother's arms. They were children who could hardly talk and unlikely to be able to walk. They were probably still being fed by the mother. And the clue for this is that they brought their babies to be touched by Jesus. Not taught by Jesus, but touched. They were just babies. Young, very young toddlers maybe. Now the disciples, we read, didn't like that the parents were bringing their babies to Jesus. They began to rebuke the parents. They probably said something like this: Jesus is far too busy to hold and touch and bless babies. He's got much more important work to do. He needs to teach people. He needs to teach them about the kingdom of God. And babies can't understand that. They're just babies. But Jesus contradicts the disciples. They're wrong. And look at what he says in verse 16. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says, "I love it when parents bring their babies to me to touch them. Let them come, I will touch them all," he says. But he also encourages parents to bring their little children. Now Jesus now uses a different Greek word. What does this word mean? It means a child who actually is growing up. Again, we know this from the first time that Luke uses it. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 40. He uses it to refer to Jesus when he was a boy. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. We read this. And the child, that's that word, little child, grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He uses it here to describe Jesus when he was 8 days old, and then as he grew as a boy. And it says he was a boy because he was growing in wisdom. He'd learned how to talk. So Jesus is saying, don't just bring babies, but bring little children as well. Bring the boys and girls as well. Why? And this is the key phrase that Jesus uses: for as such is the kingdom of God. Now, what Jesus is saying here is that babies and young children belong to the kingdom of God. They're in the kingdom of God. This is an unqualified, unambiguous declaration. There is no exceptions and no limitations in what Jesus says. For instance, this doesn't just apply to Jewish children. It doesn't just apply to the children of believers. He's talking about children from any background, any race, any baby or little child. Jesus clearly here has in mind babies and young children who cannot yet believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because they're not quite old enough to understand these things. They haven't reached the age of what we call the age of accountability, where they understand these things. And Jesus, therefore, is telling us that all such babies, all such young children, go straight to heaven when they die, if they die as a baby or a young child. My friends, what a comfort, what a blessing. We might want to think of it like this: the Lord that loved them so much that he took them to heaven early. That is the love of God. Now you might ask, well, do we have any other evidence in the Bible that babies and young children who die go straight to heaven? And the answer is yes, we do. There's lots. I'm just going to give you a few examples. Look, for instance, at what Job said. Now Job, the book of Job, is possibly the earliest book of the Bible. Turn to Job chapter 3. It's on page 452. Job 3. Page 452. Now you remember about Job, I hope. He was a godly man, and then he lost his health and his wealth and his family. Not because he had done anything wrong, but he just lost it all. And he was in a terrible state. And this is what he says in verses 11 to 13 of Job chapter 3. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Why did the knees receive me? Or why did the breasts that I should nurse? For now I would have been laid still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest. He is wishing that he had never been born or that he had died as a young baby. Why? Because now he would be at peace. He would be with the Lord. Think of what happened when the children of Israel refused to enter the promised land. You know, they're in the wilderness and God says, go into Israel. And they say, no, we won't. And so God judged them and said that everybody would die in the wilderness. But there was an exception. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39, it's page 159. Don't worry if you can't find it, I'll just read the verse to you. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. And this is what the Lord God says. Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there, to them I will give it. They shall possess it. The children and babies were spared. They didn't die in the wilderness. They did enter the promised land. Why? Because, Jesus says, they had no knowledge of good and evil. They were too young to understand. But maybe the clearest passage, and there are others, but the clearest passage is in 2 Samuel. If you're looking in a Russian Bible, I think that is actually 4 Kings. No, it's 2 Samuel, it's correct. Forget what I've just said, I'm getting confused. 2 Samuel chapter 12, it's on page 283. Now, do you remember here that David, King David, had committed a terrible sin? He committed adultery and murder. And his wife, the woman, became pregnant. And Nathan rebuked David, the prophet. David confessed his sin. He said, I'm sorry. And Nathan assured David God had forgiven him. that told him that one of the consequences was that the baby boy born as a result of his adultery would die. Now, what do you think David was going to do? Well, for 7 days he prayed and he fasted, "Lord, spare the child." But then the child died. And when David heard the news, he arose and went into the house of the Lord to worship and sat down and ate some food. Now, the servants are astonished. Look what they say to David in verse 21. "What is this that you have done? You have fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." Look how David replies, verse 22 to 23. And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me.'" David knew he was going to meet this boy when he died. Where? In heaven. He knew that this boy was now safe. We would say safe in the arms of Jesus. This baby, born to sinful parents, born in the middle of a sinful act, went straight to heaven when he died. Now, at this point, you might have another question. Well, okay, the Bible says that, but why? Why is Jesus saying so categorically that babies and infants are in the kingdom of God and go to heaven if they die? Because Jesus is not saying infants aren't sinners. Every parent knows when their baby's born that they're born with a sinful heart. David himself says in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." David was not saying that his mother sinned when he was conceived, but that his mother and father were sinners. And every baby is born with a sinful heart. Every parent knows that very quickly. So why are babies and infants in the kingdom of God? Because they're born with a sinful heart. Well, there are several reasons. I'm just going to give you two for the sake of time. The first is this, and it's an important thing that we all grasp. Whenever we read about the Day of Judgment in the Bible, it is always a day of judgment of actual sins that people have committed. We find this, for instance, in Matthew 25. You might want to turn to it. This famous passage about the end of the world, the day of judgment. Matthew 25, it's on page 876. And here Jesus describes the day of judgment. And in this picture, the saved, the people going to heaven, are called sheep. And the lost are called people who are called goats. And look what we read in verse 31 and 32. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, and then he will sit on the throne of his glory, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Now he has a message for the people who are saved. We're going to look at what he says for the people who are not saved, who are going to hell. Look at verses 41 and 43 to 43. "Then he will also say to those on his left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.'" The unsaved, anybody who is sent to the lake of fire, is sent there not because they're born with a sinful nature, but because of the actual sins that they commit that follow from having a sinful nature. And babies and infants don't understand what sin is. So if they die, they won't be punished, even though they're born with a sinful nature. And we can go further. Babies and infants that die before the age of understanding are in heaven because I believe they're covered with the blood of Christ. Yes, they had a sinful nature, And the Bible says that nobody gets to heaven except by their sin being covered by the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So we can be sure that they're covered by the blood of Christ. We can also be sure in some wonderful way they've been born again. We do have an example in the Bible of somebody who was born again in the womb. And I believe all these babies and infants, before they die, in some wonderful way they're born again. Because Jesus says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus is saying babies and infants are members of the kingdom of God. They never actually committed any actual sins. They're covered by the blood of Christ. They're loved by God. And if we think about it, that's what we'd expect from the great God of love and mercy, wouldn't we? We'd expect that. And that is, by the way, why we read that there are so many in heaven. So many millions and millions. Because there's all the babies, all the aborted babies, all the infants that have died when they were young. They're all in heaven. Now, the question, of course, every parent will want to ask is this. When does an infant become a child who is responsible for their actions? When do they reach this age of understanding? And the answer is, the Bible doesn't specifically tell us. And my friends, I'm so thankful the Bible doesn't tell us. Imagine if you knew precisely the age at which a child became accountable for their actions. Imagine if the Bible said it's when they became 6 years old, for instance, or 8 years old. Can you imagine what it would be like? They've suddenly reached this age and now they're accountable for their actions. The stress and anxiety will be terrible. One clue, however, we do have in the scriptures concerns again the life of Jesus. Now, do you remember what he did when he was 12 years old? Do you remember what he did? He went to Jerusalem with his parents and then he stayed there. And he clearly had reached the age of understanding because of the conversations we know he had with the religious leaders. He understood about good and bad and right and wrong. And what is interesting is that Luke, when he talks about this incident, uses a different word for child, for Jesus. He no longer uses the word to describe infant or child, but another Greek word, which is the word translated boy. So sometime between the age of 0 and 12, a child reaches the age of understanding when they can answer to God for their life. And I believe it would vary between child and child. In my experience, many children reach the age of understanding well before the age of 12. But the most important thing for you parents and us who are here in this church with many children, the most important thing that you need to do as a parent is, from the earliest age, read the Bible to them. Pray with them. Teach them about the way of salvation. Explain about who Jesus is. And for us who maybe our children are grown up or are not parents, then my friends, what can we can do? We can pray for the children in our church. You know that we've given each of you a lovely picture of all the 25 children that we have coming to this church. And there are probably a few more now. Well, my friends, pray for them. Pray that they will come to know Jesus. Pray that when they reach that age of understanding, they will believe in Jesus and be saved. Now, my friends, we turn to what Jesus had to say to all of us who have reached the age of understanding. And I think that includes everybody in this room, all of you listening to me. And this is a vital teaching. This comes to our second point. We must become like a young child if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the surprising teaching of verse 17. Look what Jesus says. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And Jesus once again gives an unqualified, unqualified declaration that has no exceptions and no limitations. If you are to be saved from your sins, if I am to be saved from my sins, if anybody is to be saved from their sins, if you want to go to heaven, you must receive the kingdom like a little child. And if you don't, you won't be saved. Now, I want now, at this point, to especially talk to the young people who are present today. You can decide if you count as a young person, but I hope that all of you will still listen. Now, you young people, I'm very glad you're here today, because Jesus has a very special message for you today. Now, sometimes you may think that us adults, we look down on you. And sometimes we may think that we don't think much about you. And that is the case, I'm sorry, because that's not right. Because we're told here Jesus loves children and young people, and he loves them to come to him. You're of infinite value to God. Now, there are many things that you can't do as a young person. There are many things that only adults can do. Only grown-ups can drive a car. Only adults can get married. Only adults can be a doctor. But the Lord says here, there's one thing that you can do. And the one thing you can do, and you don't have to be an adult to do it, is that you can become a Christian. In fact, Jesus goes further and says, it's easier for you young people, for you children and young people, it's easier for you to become a Christian than for us grown-ups. Isn't that wonderful? This is easier for you to do than us. Why is this? Why do we grown-ups have to become like a child in order to be saved? And why is it easier for you to be saved? The answer is, because I believe it's easier for you to accept what the Bible teaches about how to be saved than us grown-ups and adults. And I'm going to illustrate this by talking about four truths. Four things you need to know and believe, really, if you're going to be saved. And there are four things that actually it's much easier for a child and young person to understand than us grown-ups. The first is this. God created you. The Bible tells us, doesn't it? How God created the world. In Genesis 1, it says that over 6 days he created everything, the earth and the heaven, the light and the darkness, the sea and the dry land, the plants and the trees, the sun and moon and stars, the fish and the animals, and finally created us, human beings, male and female. Now, that's not too difficult for you to understand, is it? You can all understand that. And I believe for you young people, it's easier if you understand this. Because in one sense, there are many things you don't understand. You just believe it. Maybe you eat food today, but you don't understand how it helps your body and how you turn it into energy. You switch on a light. You don't understand electricity. I still don't understand electricity. You use a mobile phone, but you don't really understand how it works. You just trust it works. Now, let me lend you a little secret. Do you know what many grown-ups and adults think? They think that everything started with a big bang. There was a great big explosion. And from that big bang became the order and design that we see in the universe. How silly! Now, you all know what happens where there's a big bang. There's big chaos. But you know that most grown-ups in this world think that there was a big bang and produced everything we see around us. How silly. And let me tell you something else that most grown-ups and adults think. They think once there was no life and then, pop, life came about. Now, my friends, and boys and girls and mums and dads, you know where life came from, don't you? You know that life comes from life. Where do ants come from? Well, they come from other ants, living ants. Where do horses come from? Well, they come from other horses. And where do human beings come from? Well, we come from other human beings, don't we? Living things produce living things. But many adults believe that life came once from nothing, from matter. Suddenly, pop, there was life. How silly. And you young people find it easier to believe this. And you find it easier to understand it, that God created the world. And Lord, God gave you life through your living parents. Here's the second truth that I think young people find easier to understand. God has the right to tell you how to live. Now, you young people understand this, don't you? For the whole of your life, you have lived under the authority of your parents or your guardian. You benefit from their love and security, but they have the right to tell you how to live, don't they? And they do. They say, do this and don't do that. And in general, hopefully, you accept it. You accept they have the right to set the rules. If mum says you need to have a haircut, well, you're going to have your hair cut. If dad says you're not going to wear that item of clothing, well, you're not going to wear that item of clothing. What mum and dad says in general, you do. And you know that if you disobey them, there'll be consequences. So if I now tell you that the God who made you has the right to tell you how to live, and it's God who decides what is good and bad and right and wrong, you'll understand that. You'll not accept it, won't you? You say, well, of course. I accept what mum and dad says, so of course I'm going to accept what God says. But let me let you into another secret. Do you know what millions of grown-ups think? They think that God has no right to tell them how to live. And worse than that, they think that they have the right to say what is right and wrong. And that's what they're doing, aren't they? So they're deciding who can get married. They're deciding what is a man and what is a woman. How silly. Here they are, living in a world that God has made for them, living in a body that God has given them, enjoying food that God has provided. And then they say, God hasn't the right to tell me how to live. How to live in this world and in my body. How foolish and silly. This will be as silly as a 5-year-old saying, I don't need my parents. I can look after myself. I can feed myself. I can go and get a job. But you young people accept this, don't you? It's easy for you to understand that God has the right to tell you how to live. Now here's the third truth. We've all done wrong. Now you young people know you're not perfect, don't you? Sometimes you're told off by your parents or your teachers when you say or do something wrong. And you know you've done something wrong. And you also understand that when you do something wrong, what you have to do? You have to say you're sorry. You say you're sorry to your mum or your dad, to your best friend, or even your brother or sister. I have to say, I'm sorry. So when I tell you that you've sinned against God and you need to say sorry to God, you understand that. You say, yes, that makes sense. It makes sense. But let me let you into another secret about adults. They find it very difficult to admit they're in the wrong. If later on you begin to follow politics, and I'm not saying it's a good idea, but if you do, you'll discover it with politicians. The hardest thing for a politician ever to say is what? I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And many grown-ups are the same. They find it difficult to say they're sorry. Pride gets in the way. How silly. But you understand it, don't you? You know you're not perfect. You know you sometimes do wrong things and you break God's commandments. So you understand, yes, if I've done that, I deserve to be punished by God. And you know you need to say sorry to God. And here's the fourth and final truth that I think young people, you young people, find it easier to understand. You must put your trust in a man who lived 2,000 years ago called Jesus Christ. to have your sins forgiven. Now, young people, you understand about trusting other people, don't you? You trusted maybe your dad or your mum to drive you safely to church this morning. You didn't really have any thought about it. You just got in the car and thought, I'm in the car. They'll drive me safely there. When you get home, maybe you'll trust your mum to cook you a nice food and meal, and you won't worry about whether she's put poison in, will you? You trust her to do that. And when something goes wrong, you trust other people to fix it. Your stomach hurts, you're really not well. So your mum and dad takes you to the doctor, and you trust the doctor that they give you some medicine and it will heal you. Your mobile phone breaks down, and you trust the shop, it's going to fix it. We're all used to trusting, and you particularly, young people, you're used to trusting people. Now think about the biggest problem in your life, which is the bad things we do, our sin. How can that be fixed? And if I tell you that the person you need to go to is God, who made you, he can give you a new heart, he can forgive you. If I tell you that God so loved you that he became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to fix the problem of your sin, and to fix the problem of your sin, do you know what he did? He died on the cross. Then you can understand that. There's a problem, and there's the one who can fix that problem. And when I say to you that if you want to be forgiven, you just need to trust Jesus, you understand that. Because you're quite used to trusting other people. You couldn't live without trusting other people. But let me let you into a final secret. Most grown-ups and adults find that very, very difficult. They trust themselves. They think they can solve everything themselves. Or if they don't trust themselves, they maybe trust some politician to solve everything. And they think in particular they can fix their heart and all the bad things they do. How silly! So children and young people, you are blessed to be young, because you're more easily willing to accept and believe that God made the world and God made you. God has the right to tell you how to live, and that when you do wrong, you know you've sinned against God and you deserve to be punished. But that if you believe in Jesus and ask God to forgive you and put your trust in him, he will forgive you. So my question for you young people, and for everybody here, is have you believed? As I close, I just want to tell you about a little girl called Clarice. She was from Singapore. And about 12 years old, she came to live in Switzerland for 3 years with her mum and dad. And every week, she went to Sunday school here in this church. She was about 5 years old. And one Sunday, the teacher taught her in Sunday school that she was a sinner. And then she realised she was. And the next Sunday, in the same Sunday school, the teacher taught her that Jesus came to save sinners. And that if she said she was sorry for her sins and trusted in Jesus, she would be forgiven by God. So in her heart, during that Sunday school lesson, she said sorry to Jesus. She asked Jesus to forgive her. And as she did this, the tears welled up in her eyes. And she was saved. And she was 5 years old. Relatively recently, she's now a teenager, she was baptized. And she recounted this at her baptism back in Singapore. My friends, young people and adults, you're all older than she was. But she simply understood she had to come to Jesus and say sorry for her sins. And that's what she did. Will you become like a little child and come and say sorry to Jesus and put your trust in him? Are you willing to say something like this? Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please, will you forgive me? I believe you died on the cross to save me. Take over my life and help me to live for you for now. Will you do that? And will you all remember, whether you're young people or grown-ups, that unless you become like a little child, unless you confess your sin as openly as Clarice did, like a little child, unless you believe in the Lord Jesus like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen.